Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great and blessed day it is to be here this morning, all over the sanctuary. If you have your Bibles, whether in printed or digital format, would you please hold them up over your head? Hey, hold up the Word of God. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's on your iPhone or your Android or where it is. Hold up the Word of God. Amen. Please turn in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, we are going to focus on verses 1 through 3, but we may go through a few verses following there. We have been on a journey this year in the book of Joshua. And as we've gone through this journey, it's called the Living the Life of Significance. May I ask you here today, do you want to be significant in your life? I think we would all say amen. We want to make a great difference in our world. And as we've gone through this journey with the book of Joshua, our last message was on the commander of the army of the Lord. And we know that when we looked at that and we worked it out through the scriptures, that the commander of the army of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And you know, the victory is ours when Jesus is in command. Amen? And so I want you to say to you today that the entirety of Christianity depends upon the person of Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary, and the truth and absolute perfection of the Word of God. Take away the Bible, and you only have man's opinions devoid of any real meaning. We are not here today to see what Pastor Larry has to say. We are here today to see what God has to say from His Word. And we speak only the truth of His Word. Take away Jesus Christ, and all that remains is one more worldly religion, devoid of grace, devoid of mercy, and devoid of any hope at all. Take away the cross of Calvary, and all that remains is a distant creator. A creator that remains distant, unwilling to sacrifice Himself for His creation, unwilling to have a relationship with the man that He created in His own image. I am so grateful to God. I am so grateful for the God that came to save. Amen. I'm so thankful for the Father of the fatherless. And as we continue our journey and as we go through life, we all know that we have great things to overcome. Amen. We all come against and up against our own Jerichos of life. The walled cities, the things that we cannot work through. And so today, you should have your bulletins there with you and so the ability to take a few notes. But we're going to read first verses 1 through 3. If you have the Word of God open to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, please say, Amen. Amen. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. Now, when we look at that passage, you know, thinking of it in human terms, we think to ourselves, okay, Lord, you say that you've given us this. You've given us this great gift. You've given us this great thing. But they're behind the walls of a fort. And we go through life like that. Lord, I've read your promises. You say that, Lord, we have these things that you have given us. But sometimes, Father, your promises seem shut behind the gates of a fortress. Amen? See, you see, we have been building to this well-known passage in this series. Jericho was a fortified outpost guarding the way into the promised land. Jericho was huge. Giant walls. Impregnable. You see, for the Israelites had to conquer Jericho. It guarded the way into all of the promised land. And once having captured Jericho, conquering the rest of Canaan would be relatively easy. Now listen closely and don't miss this. Jericho was designed to lock out God's people. I'm going to say that once more. Jericho was designed to lock out Jericho's people, God's people. But it was also designed to lock in the people of Canaan. It was designed to lock out the people of God. It was designed to lock in the people of Canaan. It was an ancient example of what our modern day America is becoming and what our modern world is becoming. And let me explain, because this is critically important. Can we all agree that God's people know the message that God has for the world? Can we all agree on that? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know the Word of God. We know the plan that God has for this world. You see, God's plan is for salvation through God's plan, not through our ideas of salvation. And I'm so blessed that God made it so simple, even someone like me understands it. God made His plan so simple, so straight to the point, you must receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, that even someone like me can get up and preach that message. It's just that simple. And when I say someone like me, I'm not being self-deprecating on this. There are people in this church right now, including Brother Randy and his lovely wife, that remember me back in those early days of Harvest Chapel. I was not what you would call called of God. But through the music ministry and the Harvest Chapel of those days, and Brother Randy and his son, Kevin, was in the sound booth. And our sound booth was about half the size of that sound booth back there. And to get into it, you had to go out the sanctuary, down the hall, around the corner, and then come into it. And inside that sound booth was still myself and Kevin, neither one of us small guys. And I did the PowerPoint. And then I decided to sing. And I thought, well, I'm going to get out of this PowerPoint thing. And so I decided to sing in the choir. And so I went up to sing with the choir, and I made sure that I was nowhere near a microphone. You guys may realize that some days that I'll be down here singing, and Jason or one of the other young people will come running down and say, "Pastor, your mic is on." Apparently, that's not a good thing. But anyway, I said, well, I'll get out of doing this PowerPoint. I'm going to go sing in the choir. And then they moved the computer up on the stage with me. And so I did the PowerPoint and sang in the choir at the same time. But you know what? It is amazing what God can do with a heart that is willing. When a heart is willing, God can do amazing things. You know, He could take someone that simply was showing up originally to please His wife and take that person and do great and mighty things if that person is willing. We've watched as God has raised up Pastor Devine and Pastor Ivan over these last 5, 6, 7 years, and just raised them up, and we licensed them last week. We've seen as God has raised up our Hispanic ministry. God has seen as we've watched as God has raised up this church. Was last week's service not just simply awesome, guys? We had a Hispanic ministry and Anglo ministry all here together. Praise team on here, almost 20 strong with the praise team and band. And singing in both languages, and it was simply incredible. But you see, we know the message that God has for the world, and it's the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We get it. And in this story, in Joshua's day, Rahab, the harlot who was in that city, she gets it as well. She understands. She recognizes that God is going with God's people. She recognizes that anyone not in line with God's plan will be destroyed. And just as Jericho was locked down to keep people where they thought that they should be, God's people out, their people in, America is also being locked away. And it's been happening for a long time. Christians have fallen asleep. America is being locked away to keep out the message of God and to keep in the idea that there is to be a separation of church and state. Now listen to me here for just a second. Our nation was founded on the principles and godly principles of the church. Amen? Amen. There is to be a separation of the church from the state. In other words, when that concept was formed, the idea was that there was to be no national church. In other words, you are to go to this church and no other church. The Church of England was the church, and our founder said that's not going to happen. There is a freedom between and a separation between the state mandating what the churches can do. It's not that we are not to pray. It's not that we are not to lift up our leaders in prayer and to declare our values from the Word of God. You see, our nation has been so busy in recent years doing everything possible to keep God's plan out and man's plan in. And we need to return to the values of the Bible. Amen? We need to return to what God has said and called for His people to do, because surely we are one nation under God. It is His country that He has made here. And my friends, God will not be mocked. His word will never return void. So in spite of the walls of unbelief that we may see, in spite of the shut gates of American laws that they're trying to implement, in spite of the closed ears and minds and hearts of some of our leadership in America, in spite of the armed guards manning the ramparts of the courts of America, God's word and God's plan will prevail. You can no more stand against God's plan than a feather could stand before the force of a hurricane. Amen? That's simply the way that it's going to be. And it's like we will see here today in Joshua chapter 6, America's walls will become crumbling down. When the people, led by the commander of the army of the Lord, when God's people, led by the lion of the tribe of Judah, get off of defense and go on offense, and do what we have been called to do, which is share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought my own. Because when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, nothing can stand against that. Nothing. It is God's good news for the world. It is God's plan for a lost generation. And we are to attack with this weapon, with this message, with the most amazing weapon that has ever been devised. What is that weapon that we have? None other than the love of Jesus Christ. Guys, we can't be mean-spirited about this. When we share the gospel, when we share the Word of God, we have to do so in love. We can't make people feel unwelcome in churches. We can't make people feel unwelcome in our presence. They need to understand the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what I love about Living Hope Church. Everyone that comes here is welcome. All who come here are welcome. What we need to do is get some of this love out of this room and out in Coral Springs, folks. Hey, hallelujah. I'm glad you say amen. I'm going to hold you to that. All right, guys. So, see, I preach right off my notes here. That's not always a great thing. So don't worry, Living Hope Baptist Church. The Lord has already delivered Coral Springs, Florida into our hands. The reason I know that is because we are here. He's already delivered it to us. We only need to go and take possession of it. And while I'm on the subject that God will not be mocked, whether in our courts or in our churches or in our people of America, may I just point out something that really bugs me? Now, I've never done this from the pulpit before, but I'm going to do it today. I'm feeling a certain freedom here. You guys are on a high from Brother Randy playing, the praise team worshiping. We had a great service last week. I figured I'd just go for it. So may I point this out? God is not Living Hope Baptist Church. God is not people watching on the internet. God is not the man upstairs. He is not. Because if it's just a man upstairs, then we got a lot of big trouble. So far, all the things I've seen done by man have failed, amen? And all the things I've seen done by God have succeeded. And so He is not the man upstairs. Because He is the Lord God in heaven. He is the great and awesome God. He is the God that is completely possessed of infinitude within Him, His own self. In other words, He is infinite in His nature. He is infinite in His holiness. He is infinite in His power and His dominion and His majesty. He is infinite in all of these things because He is the God of Israel. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and He is the Lord God. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause in his house. You see, when I stumble in my words, the Lord does not stumble in his meaning. He is the Lord. I could go on, but we need to move on. But let me make something abundantly clear. If you want God to answer your prayers, if you want God to direct your path, if you want God to save you, then we all must realize that God is God. And that's all that there is to it. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. You see, there must be a separation in our hearts and minds of how we think on and consider God. Now, I have 3 points here, and if you're visiting here today, you're probably thinking, when is this preacher going to get to these 3 things I have to fill in today? But we're going to move through these fairly quickly. I have 3 points for you today that are as applicable today as they were in Joshua's day. First, you ready for this one? God expects His people to work. Write that down in your notes, and it should be up there. God expects His people to work. Here, we're going to get there. By the way, the whole video thing is all messed up, and if we came to a spot where it's not moving on, it's quite all right, Miss Margaret. I guess I'll just have to do some old-fashioned preaching here. Do you have it there? God expects His people to work. If you've got it written in, say amen. Amen. You see, we all know that we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. In addition, we know that the only works that save us are the works of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Hit your F5 key. Are we on this? If you hit F5, it'll come back up. There we go. And we'll wait for it. There we go. Everybody, pray for Miss Margaret. She's dealing with Pastor Larry today. She is such a blessing to us, and I truly mean that. She is such a total blessing to us. Where was I at, somebody? God expects His people to work. Amen? Amen? We know that the only works that save us are the works of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now listen, friends. Works themselves do not save us. But a Christian cannot live as a Christian without some good works. Amen? If you are a Christian, there must be some fruit from your life. You must touch the world. You must touch your friends. You must touch your neighborhoods in some way. In other words, when you go forth bearing testimony to the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be fruit from that. People's hearts should be touched. And so now, having crossed the Jordan, God's army was not just to sit around, take it easy, and hope that the walls fell down. Looking in the book of Joshua chapter 6, if you're there, say amen. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. They're saying, let's get the preachers out here to lead the way. Listen, daily they were going to march around the city expecting God to bring them the victory. I'm not sure you got that. I'm going to say it again. Daily they were to march around the city expecting God to bring the victory. See, we aren't doing these things in our own power, but in the power of the living God. Day by day we are to march, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Day by day we are to march, being obedient to the good works that God has called us to do. Day by day we should march, expecting God to bring us the victory, expecting God to do great things. You see, each of us has a particular job to do in the church. just as they all had a job in Joshua's army. There were priests and scribes and squires and cooks and men-at-arms, all working together to the glory of God. Everyone in the people of God, in within that body involved, because we are all called to serve God. There are to be, you ready for this? No sightseers in God's army. We all have a role here at Living Hope Baptist Church. You see, the greeters are God's welcoming committee. They welcome people into His house for God's people and for visitors. The deacons and elders help organize and serve you, God's people. The praise team are the holy seraphim, the angelic choir, pointing to the throne of God, declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." The preacher's only job is instructing the saints for the edification and work of the ministry. That is our job. The pastor's job is that of the under-shepherd to the great shepherd. That is my job. The great shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer team lifts our prayers before the throne of God, a sweet aroma, well-pleasing in the nostrils of God. But that is not what we are all about. Don't misunderstand me. Church is good. Fellowship of the saints is good. But once our service is completed, listen closely, church, once the service here is completed, we are to let loose the army of the living God and send them out into Coral Springs, Florida. You are to be set loose to bring the good news to all of Coral Springs and beyond. And this can only be done through the Lord. What did He say? Not by power, not by might, but by my right hand, says the Lord God Almighty. The faith that God may have us here for now, guys, God may have us here for now, right outside these doors, is our Canaan that God has promised His people. Friends, I cannot believe that God has brought this church of faithful warriors together just to keep us hidden away in this old upper room. The talent that we have in our praise team, the giftedness of the men that God is raising up. I must believe that God has great plans for Living Hope Baptist Church. Amen? If you believe that, say amen. And I believe that the day is coming, that one day that this room will be filled with a mighty rushing wind. And the Holy Ghost power will break out and we will burst out of here to do the work of the Lord. Amen? And when we do that, Miss Connie and Miss Edna and Brother Francis will look down from heaven with that great sea of witnesses and say, "I am so glad that I served there and helped lay the foundation of God's work." Amen? Faith allows us to do God's work. Not only does faith allow us to do God's work, God expects His people to wait. That's our next point. God expects His people to wait. Well, that's a good message, right? Everybody likes waiting on what they really want, don't they? No, you don't. Don't get all spiritual on me, church. Nobody likes to wait. Modern society, we are the only people that put minute popcorn in the microwave and stand there tapping our foot, wondering when it's going to come out of there. Amen? So listen, waiting on God's timing can be difficult. Now, as we look at the story, maybe the priests and the preachers were content with just sitting there and cooling their heels for a little while. But I'm certain that the men of the army were looking around saying, "What are we waiting on? We have this great number, this great multitude of people here. What are we waiting on? All it takes is a little rope and a few ladders to get over there in the dark of night, and we can get that gate open." And our command is to walk around the city once each day, and then seven times on the seventh day. That's 13 times around that city. Now, what if I brought you guys that message? I have a word from the Lord. We're going to go down to the football stadium, because that's about the size of Jericho. And out of arrow shot range, that's the outer perimeter of the parking lot down there in the football stadium where the Dolphins play football. We're going to walk. Here's how we're going to win, guys. We're going to walk around there once each day. And then on the seventh day, we're going to walk around that seven times. I'm sure the congregation will be going, I believe Pastor Larry has lost it. This is Florida. It's hot. And walk around that thing seven times? Why? Probably asking, why, Lord? Why is that? Forgetting that Isaiah 55:8 says these words. Mark that verse in your margins. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's does not work like we do. God does not think like we do. So listen, suppose they went ahead and stormed the heavens. They certainly had the manpower to do this. But let me ask you this. If they stormed the gates, who would get the glory? They would. Ah, but if they obey the Lord, amen? If they obey the Lord and simply march and then the walls fall down of their own accord, who gets the glory then? God, amen. But I think there was another problem with them waiting. See, because they didn't want to wait. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, as they were walking around the gates of this, of the walls of this city, they were getting mocked a little bit? You think that might have been happening? Do you not believe that the Canaanites would not be hurling insults down to them as they were out marching around in the desert around this city of Jericho? Friends, we know that God has His reasons for making us wait. It doesn't make it easier, though. We know that our waiting is for His glory. We know that waiting is for our spiritual growth. But we know that when we patiently are obedient, the victories are sweeter. When we do what the Lord has called us to do, it just seems better. When we stay faithful when people mock us. When we stay faithful when somebody says, you go to that church, how do you expect that church to grow being in that upper room? It's such a great and sweet thing when that happens. You see, the priests should never forget. Now listen closely to me here. The priests, the scribes, the leadership of that body of people should never forget that Rahab and her entire family are locked up and they're waiting to be saved. Did you get that? Say amen. Amen. The men of the army should remember, they may not be taking the city for now. They may be locked out, but they are standing in the promised land. Amen? They are standing right there. They've been delivered safely by God through the wilderness and across the Jordan. And it is not them, but the Canaanites that are hiding behind the walls. The Canaanites hiding behind their walls of obstruction. It's not them, but the Canaanites that are looking out at this army of God. And as they look out at this great multitude of people coming, what is it that they see? They've watched the approach of this great sea of people out of the desert. And as we bring up our next PowerPoint slide here. And as they come forward, they're coming into Jericho. They're coming out of the wilderness. And now, what do they see as they're coming? Next down arrow, please. What do we see there? What are they led by? They are led by the Ark of the Covenant of God. Hallelujah. Not only that, but just beyond them, they see the 12 tribes of Israel, four rows of three tribes each. Let's walk through this one at a time. On the front row, as they're looking out, bear in mind that Jericho is out to the right there. First, they see Judah, the tribe of Judah. Judah, that word means praise. Praise. We praise the Lord as we march. Next to Judah, we see Issachar. Issachar means reward in the vowel stem that is being used there. Next to them is Zebulun, which means exalted. Is that not amazing, friends? Praise, reward, exalted. Then what comes next? Then we have the sons of Gershon and Merari carrying the tabernacle itself and the walls, the stakes, the floor, the tent, the veil. They're carrying all of that. Combine those names of Gershon and Merari means bitter exile. The Jewish people are deeply aware of where they have come from. They have come out of the wilderness, out of the desert. They've been in bitter exile. Next line, three more tribes. First is Reuben, which means behold a son. Next to him, Simeon, which means herd. Next to him is Gad, which means soldier. But it does not mean just soldier. It means a lead soldier, a leading soldier, a commander. And we know that the Lord Jesus is the commander of the army of the Lord. Amen? Amen. We also know that behold a son. Who has not heard that pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ? The word heard, have you not heard? Behold a son. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Next come the Kohathites. And by the way, if you happen to speak Hebrew and you're in this room, thank you. God bless you for not correcting my pronunciation. Next come the Kohathites. And their name means assembly. They're carrying the tabernacle furnishings. All the implements of the tabernacle. Now we come to the third set of tribes. Ephraim, which means doubly fruitful. Manasseh, which means to forget. Benjamin, which means son of the right hand. Hallelujah to the glory of God. And then finally, the back row. We see the judge, who is Dan. Asher, which is happy. And Naphtali, which means to wrestle. One day, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will judge us. And you will be either be happy with that, or you will wrestle in your heart with what you have done all for with your life. You see, and as Jericho looks out, this is what they see coming at them. How big was this group of people? Well, it said they had about 400,000 to 500,000 fighting men. But take the men, the wives, the children. The estimates fall somewhere between 1.75 and 2.5 million people. This great people that are coming. And as they're moving along, we see that this, all of these names, is God's plan for salvation in eternity. All of these names reference the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these names reference the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll preach on that another time. I preached on this one time in the past. I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure it was wonderful. But we'll make a series out of this sometime in the future. So Jericho may be safe for the moment, but God has said to His people, I will give them to you. I will give that to you. Therefore, the soldiers are to march. Simply march, because the time is not yet right for God's victory. Not yet. But as they all march, waiting, quiet, they are bearing testimony to their trust in God's plan. May I ask today, do you have trust in God's plan for your life? Are you willing to march along being obedient to what He's called you to do, knowing that God knows best? You see, just as the Canaanites were hurling insults upon the people of God, we see that in America today, that the world hurls insults at the people of God. Why? Because the enemy thinks that they are insignificant. They think that the Israelites' God is powerless. But 3,611 years later, who is it that still gets the glory? God Almighty. Amen. What do we read about all the time? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Amen? And those walls came tumbling down. Church, we may be here for now, wondering. But stay patient. March to the Lord's orders. The battle is coming, but never forget, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is not ours, but it is the Lord's. Living Hope Church, if we stay faithful, we are about to become very significant. Hallelujah. Not only does God expect His people to work, not only does God expect His people to wait, but God expects His people to win. This will be a very brief part of this today's message. I'm only going to spend a moment here. Let me clarify this so that we don't get the wrong idea or live by poor theology. This winning... Okay, the walls of Jericho falling down had almost nothing. The walls of Jericho falling down had everything to do with God. Everything to do with God. Friends, when the success comes, when a ministry grows, it is all because of Him, and the glory is all His. God expects His people to win. Ready for this? Are you ready for this? Amen. God expects His people to win because it is Him that leads us to victory. And I, by the way, I don't follow a loser God. My God is a winner. My God is big. And no one should ever say, well done, Christians. No one should ever say, well done, Baptists. No pastor should ever say, well done me, I nailed that message. Well done me, deacons, I nailed that prayer. We should all say that there's only one shout of victory that should be lifted up to heaven, and that shout is this: hallelujah to the Lord God Almighty who reigns in heaven. Amen. And all God's people said, listen, church, we have one job: to march to the beat of the Lord's drum. Amen. Meaning we are to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, because right outside those doors, are you listening to me? Right outside that doors, Rahab and her family are waiting to be saved. And they may be within these doors right now. They may be sitting in this sanctuary. They may be watching on the internet. Because for people to get saved, there's only one way that that happens. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. When Jesus was asked about how to get to heaven, doubting Thomas said, how will we know the way? Jesus Christ said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But what about you sitting here today? I end today's message as I began every single message I have ever preached. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.